top stories this hour. Released Iranian academic Shahram Amiri holds the United States responsible for his abduction and 14 months of captivity. The EU again criticizes Israel's demolition of Palestinian homes in East Jerusalem Al-Quds. Israel forces a Gaza-bound aid ship to change its route to Egypt after threatening its crew.
Hello everyone, it's 2:30 a.m. here in Tehran and you're watching the news here on Press TV.
Many thanks for joining us. Well, arrangements are underway for the return of Iranian academic Shahram Amiri to Iran. U.S. authorities have handed over Amiri to Iran's interest section at Pakistan's embassy in Washington. American officials previously denied any knowledge of Amiri's whereabouts. Iran says Amiri was kidnapped and taken to the United States while on Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia back in June 2009. Iran also says the CIA and Saudi intelligence agents were behind the abduction. Amiri has already posted video messages online revealing some details about his ordeal in the U.S. custody.
Iran says Shahram Amiri is kidnapped and taken to the U.S. while on the Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia in June 2009. Iran also accuses Saudi Arabia of helping Washington with the abduction. In response, Washington denies any knowledge about the Iranian academic's whereabouts and his presence in the U.S. In June 2010, Amiri posts a video on the internet in which he says he's been kidnapped and taken to the U.S. from Saudi Arabia. Shortly after that footage, a second video of Amiri is released on the internet in which he appears to be reading from a text saying he's actually studying in the U.S. This while Washington has just confirmed Amir is in the U.S., but claims the Iranian academic was residing in America at his own will.
Let me say that Mr. Amiri has been in the United States of his own free will, and he is free to go. In fact, he was scheduled to travel to Iran yesterday, but was unable to make all of the necessary arrangements to reach Iran through transit countries.
This is a very interesting development in how the U.S. government is going to respond to his Amiri's actual presence here when previously denying it.
Upon arrival at Iran's interest section at the Pakistani embassy in Washington, Amiri said that after his video message appeared on the internet, the American government felt disgrace over his abduction and wanted to quietly return him to Iran. Amiri said the move was aimed at covering up his abduction. He also described Washington as the loser in his abduction saga. And many analysts believe Amiri's sudden appearance in the U.S. is an embarrassment for the U.S. spy agencies.
Well, in an exclusive interview with Press TV, Iranian academic Shahram Amiri told us more about his ordeal.
فکر کنم که داستان در واقع رود شدن من یک داستان خیلی مفصلی هستش که در اون فیلم و ویدئویی که از طریق صدا و سیمای جمهوری اسلامی ایران منتشر شد من نکات کلیدی و اصلی نحوه روایش خودم رو تشریح کردم و اتفاقا در فیلمی که من موفق شدم پس از فرار از دست مامورین اطلاعاتی آمریکا در واقع توسط دوستانم منتشر کنم من در اون فیلم هم دوباره تاکید کردم که فیلم منتشر شده از سوی صدا و سیمای جمهوری اسلامی ایران کاملا صحت داره و هیچ نکته کذبی در داخل این فیلم قرار نداره من فکر میکنم که در این فرصت محدود من نمیتونم وارد جزئیات در واقع این قضیه بشم و اینو من موکول میکنم به زمانی که انشاءالله در داخل خاک کشور عزیزم ایران بتونم با یک فراغ بال کامل با مطبوعات و مردم خودم در واقع صحبت کنم و تمام اتفاقاتی را که در طول این 14 ماه در واقع به من گذشته و اتفاقاتی که شاید برای خیلی ها به صورت معما بوده و خیلی از اتهاماتی که از سوی در واقع رسانه‌های غربی و مخصوصا از طرف دولت آمریکا مستقیما به شخص من و در واقع به حیثیت و آبروی من در واقع زده شده. من در داخل خاک وطن در مورد این مسائل کاملا صحبت خواهم کرد و این موضوع رو کاملا شفاف خواهم کرد.
The Israeli army has fired at least 4 shells into the Gaza Strip, killing a woman and injuring several other people. The shells landed in the El Buraj neighborhood. Palestinian doctors say at least 5 people were wounded in the attack. The injured have been taken to a nearby hospital. The Israeli military has confirmed the attack. It claims its forces opened fire after some individuals were suspected of approaching the fence around Gaza.
The European Union has slammed Israel for demolishing Palestinian homes in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. The EU says the move hampers peace efforts in the Middle East. Israel's municipality in East Al-Quds claims the homes were built without a city permit. Meanwhile, Israel has approved the construction of 32 new settler units in the area. The move is part of a plan to build a total of 250 settlement units in a single neighborhood of that city. Israeli demolitions and settlement expansions are illegal under international law. Tel Aviv has dismissed repeated calls from world countries and international bodies to end such actions. Israel has refused the entry of a Libyan aid ship to the Gaza Strip.
Well, crew members on the vessel have now requested to dock at an Egyptian port. This after Israeli naval forces warn the crew of being intercepted if they do not reroute. An official from the Qatafi Foundation organizing the trip says the vessel will head to Egypt. He also says the 2 tons of medicine and food on the ship will be delivered to Palestinians in the Gaza Strip by land. This is the latest attempt by the international community to break the illegal Israeli siege on Gaza. In May, a flotilla of almost a dozen ships carrying aid to Palestinians was attacked in international waters by Israeli commandos. The deadly attack left 9 activists dead and 50 others wounded.
It's 2:38 a.m. in Tehran. Let's give you a reminder of this hour's top stories. Released Iranian academic Shahram Amiri holds the U.S. responsible for his abduction and 14 months of captivity. The EU again criticizes Israel's demolition of Palestinian homes in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Israel forces a Gaza-bound aid ship to change its route to Egypt after threatening its crew.
Stay tuned to Press TV. Still to come, Amnesty International slams France's ban on full Islamic veil. Now, it's day 86 of the catastrophic oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The energy giant BP says it's preparing to test a new cap designed to stop crude from continuing to gush into the water. Tests, due to last between 6 and 48 hours, will begin later on Tuesday. BP claims the new cap has a better seal than the last one. A top U.S. official overseeing the spill has meanwhile stressed cleanup operations. Admiral Tad Allen says BP should be able to contain the ruptured oil well's flow with siphoning vessels by mid-July, even if its latest move fails. More than 100 million gallons of oil have poured into the Gulf of Mexico since the Deepwater Horizon rig went down in April. The leak has triggered the worst ecological disaster in U.S. history.
Iran's foreign minister, Manoucher Mottaki, is in Spain for talks with high-ranking officials. Our correspondent in Madrid, Sonia Labone, has the details.
Iranian Foreign Minister Manoushehr Mottaki reviewed issues of mutual interest, the latest international developments, and country's nuclear program with his Spanish counterparts. Mottaki, who was at the head of political economic delegation, arrived in Madrid on a two-day official visit. The trip is aimed at strengthening the already good relations between the two countries and showing Iranian willingness to start talks with the West over the country's nuclear program. He held talks with Miguel Ángel Moratinos, the Spanish foreign minister, on the Alliance of Civilizations and the nuclear issue, among other subjects. The Spanish minister underlined the importance of reaching an agreement on the nuclear negotiations in order to improve bilateral relations between Iran and the European Union. Later, Mottaki told reporters Tehran is reviewing the Vienna Group's nuclear proposal and that it will soon give its response. Expressing their concern over the recent developments in the Palestinian occupied lands, Mottaki and Miguel Ángel Moratinos called for lifting the Gaza siege. Mottaki attended a press conference at the Iranian embassy in Madrid, where he talked about political and economic relations between Iran and Spain, especially cooperation on the Middle East and Afghanistan. Mottaki invited his Spanish counterpart to visit Tehran to continue consultations on various issues.
The press conference given by Mr. Mottaki, the foreign minister of Iran, has taken place here at the Iranian embassy in Madrid and was successful in clarifying the position of the two countries that seem in agreement about many subjects. Sonia Laboon, Press TV, Madrid.
Well, ties between Iran and Russia have become a little sour since the UN imposed a fourth round of sanctions against Tehran. And a new sign of tension emerged when Russia's President Dmitry Medvedev recently said Iran is getting closer to having the potential to develop nuclear weapons. Press TV's Salman Khoujiri reports.
Since Iran's nuclear energy programs became the talk of the world, Iranian officials have tried to give proper response to the questions raised by the West and the IAEA. But this time, parliamentarians in Iran are showing a more serious reaction towards the latest comments made by Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, who claimed the Islamic Republic was getting closer to possessing the potential that in principle can be used to create a nuclear weapon. Iranian officials say Iran has fully cooperated with the IAEA in living up to its NPT commitments. Meanwhile, the agency in its numerous reports has confirmed that no deviation has been found in Iran's nuclear programs. Russia has recently adopted a tougher stance towards Tehran's nuclear program and backed the fourth round of UN sanctions that was imposed last month. One point which experts believe might have caused Russia's president to take such a stance is that Iran is getting closer to self-sufficiency in providing its own nuclear fuel, and Russia is worried that it might lose its role as the main supplier.
The efforts by Iran to provide its own nuclear fuel for its Bushehr nuclear power plant and other nuclear plants, which are under construction, have caused Russia to feel that it is losing the lucrative market of Iran, so it is trying to pressure Iran to give up its uranium enrichment.
Since 2002, when Iran unveiled its nuclear energy programs, an Iranophobia campaign has been launched against the country.
The comments made by Russia's president seem to be in line with the propaganda policies of Israel, especially aimed at portraying Iran as a nuclear threat since 2002. In this way, Moscow seeks to win more support from the West, especially the U.S., in different fields.
Medvedev's comment comes at a time when over the past couple of years he's been trying to attract investment and technology from the West, especially the United States, to revive its economy. But analysts say relying on the West is a big mistake, which was first made by Yeltsin and should not be repeated. Salman Khoujiri, Press TV, Tehran.
The stability of the Italian government might be under threat. This as tensions are mounting between Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and President of the Chamber of Deputies, Gianfranco Fini. Press TV's correspondent in the capital of Rome, Matthew Stevens, has the story.
Commentators in Italy believe the Berlusconi government might unravel soon. Undermined by continued scandals and by a growing dissatisfaction among the electorate, the most serious threat posed to its stability is the difficult relationship between Mr. Berlusconi and Gianfranco Fini, President of the Chamber of Deputies and, until recently, Berlusconi's closest and most influential ally. The President of the Senate, Renato Schifani, brought the issue under the spotlight by telling Italian daily Corriere della Sera that some sort of agreement between Berlusconi and Fini must be found, as it is necessary for the political stability of the government. Within the opposition, the belief is that there is no conceivable future for the People of Freedom Party in its present form.
The People of Freedom Party is on its last legs. The only way forward for them would be for Fini's Generation Italy to establish itself as a distinct political party. No coexistence between Berlusconi and Fini is now possible.
In April, Mr. Fini launched Generation Italy, an independent political movement presented by its founder as an entity operating within and not against the People of Freedom Party. But many, including Mr. Berlusconi, have come to perceive Generation Italy as a potential means for a leadership bid by Mr. Fini. In the past, Mr. Fini has referred to Berlusconi's leadership of their party as an emperor-like rule.
Politics shouldn't be dogmatic. Dialectics and confrontation should be natural within a party. If we are at the stage in which no one is allowed to disagree with the PM, Fini's position are understandable.
Whether or not a solution to the explicit antagonism between Italy's majority's two leaders can be found, it is growing increasingly clear that Prime Minister Berlusconi's grip on his party isn't as firm as it was in the past. Matthew Stevens, Press TV, Rome.
France's lower house of parliament has voted by an overwhelming majority of 336-1 to ban face covering veils in all public places.
Well, Amnesty International, meanwhile, has condemned the vote, saying the law violates freedom of expression and religion. It had earlier written to all French MPs, urging them to reject the bill.
After months of debate and legal wrangling, France's National Assembly has approved banning full face veils in all public spaces. The vote was carried by 336 votes to one. 241 members abstained or didn't show up. Many politicians here see the burqa and niqab as symbols of violation of women's rights and secularism, a central value of modern-day France.
I vote for this law.
But if you vote for this law, then people may be penalized for wearing the veil.
They should. And they should go in other countries. Because in France, women are free.
It's a matter of security, and it's also a matter of respect for the image of women.
While ordinary Islamic headscarves are common among France's estimated 3 million Muslim women, only about 1,900 of them are believed to wear burqas or niqabs. The French Muslim Council also opposes the veil, saying it's not representative of Islam in France. But at the same time, the legislation would forbid veiling oneself in all public places in France, even in the street, on pain of a €150 fine. And anyone convicted of forcing someone else to wear the veil would risk a €30,000 fine and a year in prison. The move is popular among French voters. A recent poll found 82% approval. However, the deeply unpopular President Sarkozy has been accused of pandering to deep-rooted prejudice against Muslims and at the same time finding a way to upstage the country's problems.
He cannot solve the real problem, the ecological problem, the social problem, the economical problem. We are in a crisis. So it's a kind of autocratic government, and we say insecurity is a real problem in France. It's a problem, but not the main one.
The French upper house or Senate is expected to pass the bill in October, but after that things become uncertain because legal scholars say that the historic French Constitutional Council could in theory overturn the new legislation, but for legal rather than political reasons. Marc Vautier, Press TV, Paris.
Well, Mark's report brings us to the end of another edition of the International News here on Press TV. Remember, throughout the day, you can log on to our website.